Hey guys, welcome to the Indie Film Review, and this is going to be a weird episode, so I'm going to apologize in advance. Due to some scheduling conflicts involving mainly me, Jared, fucking up and having scheduling conflicts, me and Dan could not record at the same time. Isn't that weird? Two people living different separate lives with their own things going on, and somehow they got too busy to record on one day a week. Pathetic. That's what I say. So, what I asked Dan to do is he's going to record a little thing. I'm going to kind of jump in and out of it like a crazy raccoon hungry for knowledge. And I'm going to just jump in and just gnaw at his face whenever I think he's wrong. And hopefully shed some light on the film we're going to talk about, which is Roma. The new film everyone's going Goo Goo Gaga apeshit over. We'll see what Dan thinks of it. I don't know what his opinion is, and I'm going to actually just listen to this live, so let's see. Boom, baby. The dynamite has been lit. Thank you.
So it's my duty to give you a synopsis of Roma prior to reviewing it. Roma is essentially a year in the life of this maid in Mexico City in like the 1970s, something like that. Yeah, it's just a character study of this Mexican maid and how she gets along with the family that she's working for and her sister who's also working for the family, things like that. My question is, should we have reviewed Roma? Because I feel like it's not necessarily a independent feature. It feels independent for sure, but this has won 3 Oscars. So it won Best Foreign Language Film of the Year, Best Achievement in Directing, and Best Achievement in Cinematography for the past Oscars that were this year, essentially.
Dan, the film was a limited release in America. It was produced by Netflix. It's an indie film. Come on. Come on. Just give me this one, all right? We're not going to be 100% all the time. Okay.
And I'm a little confused. I don't think I'm going to spoil too much of the film because it was very long and winded and just kind of annoying. I will say you get a good, I want to say, minute of full frontal male nudity, which is always special, especially because he was practicing martial arts in the process.
Literally a minute in, he brings up the male nudity. I mean, a man after my own heart. Kudos, baby. Very nice. And don't worry, I will spoil the movie. If Dan doesn't want to, I'll do it.
I know I had heard that this had won a lot of awards, and I seem to remember it being in cinematography, so I was kind of looking forward to the cinematography of this feature, but the cinematography is probably the most boring part about it. Like, cinematography is camera movement, typically, and in Roma, it was just a lot of still static shots. They were long takes, and don't get me wrong, I do love long takes, but the camera barely moved. Like, it panned at most, or it tilted. It didn't really move through space, which is why I like cinematography so much.
Okay, so there are a lot of long, lingering shots, like Dan is saying. I will agree on that. I will say I disagree with him saying that's the least interesting thing about the movie, because some of the visuals in this film are very striking, and the locations and the sets and the things they do. There are certain scenes where you have two characters walking down a sidewalk, and they're passing these different food stands and cars, and all these different things are going on. It's the 1970s, and it looks great. And I'm like really focused in on what's going on. And there is a lot of shots that I really enjoyed in this movie. And that's probably one of the main things that kept me watching. Besides some of the plot stuff that doesn't kick in until much later. This movie is such a slow burn. It starts off where you're kind of like, okay, what are we doing here? What are we doing? And then you kind of get a feel for how the movie flows. Like, the film really wants you to just slow down and take everything in. And I like that. And it's kind of like you're absorbing the world that these characters are living in. And did it need to be 2 hours to do that? No, probably not. But it still was very effective to me. Like, I also feel like maybe the film had a couple of acts at the end that we could have cut and stuff. But I do like a lot of the stuff that it kind of ties into with the end that we will talk about later. Okay, back to Dan, I guess.
So, if you can stomach a 2 hour and 15 minute period piece, essentially, then Roma is the film for you. However, it did not necessarily strike my fancy. I must admit that I did fast forward through some of it because it just got so just dull to me. And this is the guy who directed, what's his name?
Shame on you, Danny. Shame on you, I say. I say that, I did actually fast forward through two scenes. The very beginning and the very end. and I'll explain why later. Okay, bye.
His name is Alfonso Cuarón. He directed Gravity. He directed Roma. He directed Children of Men, Paris J'aime, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, Y Tu Mamba Tambien. Like, this guy is not necessarily an indie filmmaker. Let's go back to Roma and see how much it actually cost.
I see where you're coming from on this. It can still be an independent film, even though he's done non-independent movies. So that would be my defense against that. Like, I don't think anybody was funding, like, helping him make this film. Maybe Netflix? Like, do you consider Netflix independent, though? That's the thing. It's not part of the major movie studios. Is Netflix that? I don't know. These are questions we should ask.
Okay, so back to what I was talking about, budget. Apparently, Roma's budget is $15 million. And I'm reading this really interesting article while that ice cream man went away.
The ice cream man sounds were cut out for time.
So apparently Netflix spent $60 million, which is like quadruple Roma's budget, in order to promote it and try to get it to its best picture idea. But like, as a best picture, it just, I don't know, Roma really, really, really fell short for me. There's something to be said about these character studies that we, on our old podcast, we reviewed this film called Kauka. It's spelled J-A-U-J-A, and it had Viggo Mortensen in it. But in that film had a bunch of long takes of absolutely nothing, but there was just something so compelling about it, something surreal. Roma didn't feel surreal. It was just this average, like, essentially what I understand, it's Cuarón's memories. He's just recounting and recollecting his past in this film. And it didn't go over too well. It felt too realistic to me. Like, there was nothing for me to grab onto. I was just, like, waiting for the next scene to go. I mean, if what I remember about the film is full frontal nudity and dog shit, like, I don't think the film is that great.
This is why I do the show with Dan. I completely understand what he's saying, especially with Kauka, which is a fantastic, fantastic movie. It's so good. And in that film, very similarly to Roma, this film, not much is going on. And it's got these long, long shots. But what really carries that movie is the surreal, like he was saying, very interesting visuals. And even when there's not surreal things going on, the visuals are still very striking, and they're telling a story along with the film. And I feel like Roma does that to an extent, but nowhere near as powerful, I feel like, as that film. I'm literally comparing the two movies. I shouldn't be. They're different films, you know. But I still can give Roma some credit to its cinematography, because that is definitely its strongest thing, like I said. Dog shit. God damn it. I mean, I wasn't bored when I watched this movie. Now, would I remember it in a year from now? No, I'm probably not going to remember it. Would I ever be like, put this up for best picture or whatever? No, probably not. But was it a bad movie? No, I don't think it's a bad movie. And I think it's still worth a watch if you're interested in something like this.
There has to be a way, and a lot of films actually achieve this, but okay, so basically what I'm thinking is Roma didn't achieve this, but there's a way to make artistic, artsy films more interesting. There's a way, there's like kind of a balance to do that. Like if you're going to have a lot of long takes, you have to have long takes that engage viewer interest. And Roma did not do that for me, except for maybe the first 30 minutes of the film. I mean, there was drama that unfolded, but I would not necessarily say the drama was the most compelling thing to make me come back to the film. It was, you know, like I said, dog shit and penises.
Okay, so I'm going to start spoiling the film now. If you're interested in watching this movie, I say go see it. Dan obviously does not think this movie should be seen. So that's cool. We both differ in our opinions. That's great. So what Dan is saying about the plot, I actually feel like the plot gets more interesting as the movie goes on. And it starts to focus around a lot of the maid and the family, of course, and her dealing with a new boyfriend and then a sudden pregnancy, which becomes a big focus of this whole thing of like life and death and how there's so much death and chaos going around in, I guess, Mexico, I believe they're at, in a time where there is a lot of social unrest with the 1971 massacres that they reference. It's a real thing that happened with student protesters and a lot of other similar events around that time. Pretty intense. And it turns out that the person that she was dating and got her pregnant and ran off on her, which is another thing that happens in the movie, he joins this liberation front that's like a part of this group, and like she sees him with like a gun, like hurting people and killing people, and then he wants nothing to do with her or the kid, and he's an awful dude, and just like all of this kind of coalesces into just a terrible situation. But it's that plot is fascinating, and then that's kind of cradled together with the plot of the mom and her husband also having an infidelity and cheating on her and pretending to go on business trips, and when he's really not, he's away with his other girlfriends, leaving her and her four or five kids by themselves with the maid who is also pregnant, who has also been hung out to dry, if you will, by her significant other. And it's this parallel of like these two women who have to be strong and like fight to take care of themselves and their family, and the hardship of that, of like these deadbeat dads leaving. So I feel like there's something with that too, and it maybe like that's a almost like a proxy of the government and how the government's treating its people and how it's like leaving them and not taking care of them and not helping them, and they have to like fight and build and take care of themselves. You know, and I feel like that's what they were kind of going for in this movie. It also made me think of another very cool film called The Similars, which is I believe it's a 2014 movie. It's a horror film. Fantastic. If you have not heard of The Similars, go look it up. It was on Netflix last I checked. If it's not, just go find it. It's fucking fantastic. It deals with losing identity and self, sense of self, and it also covers a little bit about the massacre. And trust me, you will not know what the film is about by me just explaining it to you this way. It's great. I will not spoil what that is. Okay, on with the show.
But then my question to myself is, besides surrealism, what makes films like Kauka better than Roma? Or like things like The Holy Mountain, like really surreal images and just things to make you think. And actually, Roma probably was hurt, in my opinion, by the black and white aesthetic. Because I feel like any kind of color would have been a lot more palatable. Because Kauka was full of color. It was all green. But Roma just, it felt as dull as the colors were in it. It's just a monotony of grayscale. And maybe that was the point of Roma. I'm not necessarily sure.
I disagree, just for the sole fact that I like black and white films. The movie would be interesting with maybe certain things being in color, but not everything.
It lent itself to color rather than black and white. You know, what do we learn through the entire thing of Roma? We learn that she is underappreciated, the maid is. We learn that she likes the kids. We learn that she has a boyfriend who abandons her. We learn that she is pregnant, and that's why the boyfriend abandons her. We learn that... Oh, this is spoilers, by the way.
Don't worry, Dan. I got you covered. We're in spoiler territory. We all knows it.
We learn that she loses the baby, basically. And then we learn that the family that she is mating for, the husband runs off with his mistress. She just kind of bonds with this family after she loses her baby, essentially.
She was always close to the family, Dan.
There was this really other weird scene where, and I don't know if this is a practice, like a common practice in Mexico, but it was very, I don't know, disturbing, but like all the dogs that lived in this family's house, not the main family, but the holiday family, there's a family that they go to while they're on holiday. All the dogs that had lived in that house were stuffed and mounted, like their heads were cut off and stuffed and mounted onto the walls. And it's very, very weird, to say the least. And then, after that scene, we get a scene where they just shoot guns in the middle of nowhere for no reason.
Yeah, that shit was real weird. the whole dog head mounting thing while they're looking at these heads, and then they have the newest family dog is licking the hand of the maid while she's looking at these heads was very messed up to me. There's a lot of very interesting visuals, or not, well, like, scenarios in this movie. Like, when the maid goes to make sure that she's pregnant, she goes to the doctor, and the doctor checks her and everything, like, make sure everything is okay, and she's in a waiting room looking at all the newborn babies and thinking about her baby, and then an earthquake happens. And this earthquake is shaking everything, and all the other nurses running in, and they're trying to get the babies and saving them. And then there's one baby there, and there's like a bunch of little rubble just kind of like hits the baby. And it's that whole balancing act of like life and death again that they really hammer home in this movie. And it's just like kind of just shows how dangerous it is to be alive during this time. And just, I don't know. It's intense. They do that a lot in this movie. It's a lot of imagery of the little boys playing with guns or like pretending to be army, and how Dan was talking about they go to this hunting trip and all the men are just shooting the guns off into the woods or whatever. Later on, that causes a fire, it seems like, and they have to go put out the fire. And it's almost like that the act of them doing that's like a war, whatever they're doing at war games, is causing tragedy and fire. And I don't know if Dan brings this up later, but it's Christmas during this scene of the whole hunting trip, and when they're back at home, they have a man dressed up as Krampus, which is awesome. He looks really cool, and he's running around, like, scaring the kids, and out of nowhere, this guy comes up. He's drunk, and he just starts singing some song. I don't know what the song is. There's no subtitles for it. He sings an entire song while everything's burning around him, and I thought he was going to wander off into the flames and burn himself, but he doesn't, and I feel like it's a missed opportunity of the film.
There was a scene where there was just an extended take of mating ducks in the foreground. You can tell I didn't really like this movie because I'm noticing all the things that I shouldn't have noticed, I guess.
I don't remember that happening at all, but okay.
One other thing too, because it's streaming on Netflix, this film does not lend itself to streaming very well, because there's this one scene where she looks longingly into the night sky and it's so pixelated and gross, and it wasn't my internet connection. It was just streaming quality. Roma is not a good film. Like, I would have liked probably to see this in a theater on actual 35mm, but then again, I didn't really like the film that much. So I don't know if I would have spent my money on a movie ticket, or I would have been upset by it at least.
Dan, it was your internet connection, and it's because you're poor and you don't work hard enough. It's so messed up. No, all I'm saying is I didn't have that issue, so I don't know what you're talking about there, guy.
But again, there's something to be said for films that take their time and are character studies, but I don't know. For me, my personal opinion is they have to be surreal. Like, there's this other film called Stalker that's way longer than Roma. It's Andrei Tarkovsky's film, and it's just this beautiful film with excellent cinematography and very, very surreal things. It's just like this guy, I forgot what his name is in the movie, but he's tasked with taking these people through this forbidden land without getting them killed. It's a very deliberate movie. Just like Roma, again, was a deliberate movie, but there was nothing of interest for me to grab onto.
I totally understand that. Okay, you want to watch a film that's more surreal than normal life, because normal life is boring, and if you're just watching something that's just somebody's normal, boring life, you're kind of like, why am I watching this? There's nothing interesting about this. I get that. I still think there are stories that can be told that don't have like intense, surreal things in it that can be fascinating, depending on what you do with the cinematography and kind of the point or the message you're trying to get across. I feel like this is a film that has that. It's just, can you sit through all of the long parts of like not much is going on? There's like a lot of you have to kind of be carried away by more of the cinematography than the actual things that are happening, because those take a while. And it seems like Dan could not be, and I, you know, that's perfectly fine. I completely understand where he's coming from.
Which brings me to my next question. Why and how did this film win 3 awards at the Oscars this past year? I didn't see any redeeming qualities in it. Like, it was not something that was very interesting to me. The issue I have with Roma is the narrative. You know, I don't have a problem with the narrative. It's just the pacing. It's just every bit of drama that was interesting was so far in between these long grayscale shots of just watching this lady work at her job, or watching her get along with her boyfriend, or watching her get along with her sister. There was not any substance, really.
Yeah, so this movie breaks a lot of rules. It shows things you're not supposed to show in a film, like somebody parking their car. They do this multiple times, but the way they do it, first they show the father parking his car and how meticulous and perfect he has to park in this very small freaking garage because his car is huge. And I can completely relate to that, because I have also had to park a big-ass freaking car in a garage that was way too small, a single wide garage, and I've scratched up my dang car, and I've so I was having anxiety just watching that. But then you have when the mom parks the car, when she's drunk, and like the comparisons to that, and how she's just so flippant about like, here's how I feel about my whole marriage and everything you've done to me. I'm just going to destroy this car and it just whatever. And then how later she gets a smaller car and how like that car fits perfectly into where it needs to go. And it fits, you know, and it's great. And like the kids are like, hey, this is great. You got a new car. And it's almost like this is the new thing that she's building, like a new life for herself. She's making a car that works, that fits into the garage of her life. Is this making sense to you? I'm such a pretentious piece of shit. So they do stuff like that, and some of it I can justify, like how I just did. Other times I cannot justify it, when they're just like, here, we're just gonna show you, here's the maid cleaning a shirt for a minute. You're like, okay. Like the beginning is like, here's the maid washing down the pavement for like 5 minutes while the credits roll. And you're just like, geez, what is going on? And then near the end, when she saves some of the kids out of the water at the beach. So the mom brings the whole family and the maid on a trip to the beach. And she's like, hey, we had fun at the beach, but also I really brought you here to tell you that me and your father are kind of getting a divorce. We're separating, and he's still going to be in your lives, but he's not giving us any money, and we're going to have to, you know, make it out on our own. And he's actually getting his stuff right now from the house. So that's why we left and did this trip, and they were all sad. And then the kids go play in the water, and of course, a couple of them almost drown, and then she saves the kid. And we have this big realization, this big moment at the end, where the maid says that she wished that she had never had the child that she was pregnant with. And she kind of got her wish, because the child was stillborn and died during delivery, which is a harrowing, insane scene. Really intense. Ridiculous. And that coupled with the whole shooting scene, the massacre at the end, like the whole third half of the movie, the ending is, a lot of that gets really, really crazy. And all of that was enjoyable and it made sense. But like Dan was saying, like, we could just speed it up a little bit, eh? So I get what he's saying with the repetitiveness of a lot of the scenes. It can grate on you.
Anyway, this is probably going to be a shorter episode because it's Jared and I recording separately, and Jared's going to edit them together. I'm submitting mine first, so hopefully, Jared, you can kind of talk about some of the points that I brought up.
Yeah, already did that, jackass. Jesus. Wow, this guy, am I right?
That's good enough to talk about, and we'll start strong next week with the web series that was submitted to us. As always, find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can find us at Facebook at Indie Film Review. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. And we're on Podbean, and that's about it. And Jared, you have the final word.
You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. He gave me the final word. I don't know what to do with that. That's his thing. Okay, Jared, here's your time to shine. Think of a final word. You gotta think of something fun the kids will like. Oh, boy, what do kids like? They like Fortnite and dabbing on their parents' graves. Oh, fuck! McGillicuddy.